This is going to be a two-part message for the new year, 2022, and we're going to talk about three amazing steps to an amazing year. Now, how many of you think 2021 wasn't so amazing? Well, I think if you say that, you really need this message, because I believe as a follower of Jesus, every year can be an amazing year. I don't care what restrictions there are. I don't care what's going on in your life. Because see, if you're going to look at a year and say, well, man, that was a terrible year, you missed it. You missed what God was wanting to do. And so I'm going to give you three things. And here's the good part. With this comes a 12-month guarantee, all right? A 12-month guarantee. Now, you can get a 30-day guarantee out there. I mean, that depends on how you buy. You know, you get a 90-day or extended warranty. I guarantee you what I'm going to share with you over the next two Sundays, I feel so strongly about, I'm going to give you a 12-month guarantee with it. If you will do what I'm about to share with you, no, I don't care. But Pastor, this is going to need to happen. You know, COVID's going to need to be gone. No. You know, I need the election to go my way. Yeah. Well, I'd like that personally, yeah. But if it doesn't, I'm still going to have an amazing year. I guarantee it. Now, there's three steps, but we're only going to do one today, all right? We're only going to do one. And the video kind of suggested it to us, wasn't it? It encouraged us to consider the importance and the power of one single day. And that's how I want you to approach this new year. I want you to think of, position yourself for this year's simple truth, and that is, daily focus. Daily focus. That's going to be. So just in your insert, you'll have three slots, but you'll need to bring it back next week to finish the other two. But this one is so important. I want to spend the whole Sunday on it. And you can write down those scriptures. However, today they're all going to be on the screen. So you don't even have to look them up. So if you don't get them all written down in time, they'll come back up and you'll be able to see them. I want to talk to you today about the importance of daily focus. Taking things a day at a time. I call it the power of one. The power of one single day. Remember that song? In this service we might, yeah. What a difference a day makes. Yeah, I remember that song. I started singing that this week. What a difference a day makes. It's true. And every day that God gives us is a gift. And I believe that if you'll live every day to what we were singing about earlier, to the glory of God, if you will focus your heart on a daily basis, don't worry about tomorrow or next week or next month or how's this year going to go? I wonder what's going to happen. No. If you'll just commit yourself to a daily walk of faithfulness with God, here's what I believe, and it's been my experience. You will end up right smack dab in the middle of God's will and wonder how you got there. And all it takes is a daily walk of faithfulness. The scriptures that are listed on the screen there, interesting. They all talk about it. Every one of them. And these are just a handful of them. The Bible's full of this concept of taking it a day at a time. And so let's begin with the first scripture listed there, Luke 9:23, Luke 11:3, both from the Gospel of Luke. Listen to what the writer says. Jesus turns to the crowd. They're all pressing in, and he makes this announcement to him. He said, if any of you want to be a follower of mine, if you want to be a follower of mine, here's what you need to do. You need to give up your own way. Some translations say deny yourself. And what? Take up your cross, how? Daily. And follow me. Jesus is saying something here. He's saying, what I'm wanting from you is a daily walk of faithfulness. And then we have the Lord's Prayer. We all know that, right? In Luke 11, Jesus, beautiful prayer. It's a model of prayer. And in that prayer, it says, Lord, give us this day. Give us each day. What? What kind of bread? Our daily bread. He's in the area of provision, in the area of faithfulness and obedience. He's saying to us, it's a day at a time. It's a day at a time. This is how I want you to approach it. I guarantee you, if you will make this adjustment in your focus and perspective, you'll have an amazing year. I don't care what happens around you. You will have an amazing year if you can get a hold of this concept. How about Acts 2:46-47? here in Acts, they're describing the early church. What did they do? Every day, it says, every day, they continue to meet together. Oh boy, I'm glad I'm not in the early church. I have trouble just coming together on Sunday, you know. But hey, listen, that was every day they met together in some form or fashion. They gathered together. They understood the importance of each individual day. And so they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord did what? He added to the church, to their number. How often did he add it? Daily. Daily. Those who were being saved. Boy, this daily concept must be significant. It must be important because God even looks at the church on a daily basis. His focus is daily. Our focus should be daily. He sees the church gathering together. He sees this concept of, I'm going to commit this day to the glory of God. I'm going to gather together with the saints. I'm going to go to somebody's house and break bread together. I'm going to enjoy this day. I'm not worried about next week or next month. It's about today. And as I'm doing that, God is ministering daily. And he's adding. He's always adding. He's always ministering to the church. He's doing it every day, every day. How about Acts 17:11? Here, the writer's talking about those from Thessalonica who were fair-minded. And now he's talking, of course, to another group who are more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And that they receive the word with all readiness. And they, what? Search the scriptures, how often? Daily, to find out whether these things were true. These are the Bereans, you know. They listen to Paul. Well, that's Paul. You don't have to question what Paul's saying, right? No, I challenge you in my preaching. Whatever I say, search the scriptures. Be sure that these things are so. You know, it's easy to get up. You can even manipulate people sometimes when you're talking or push a perspective or a point. No, it's got to be biblical. And that's one thing I love about this church. We want to know, what does the Word of God say? And how often should we be searching the Scriptures? Daily. I think this is a word for you, for this new year. If you want to have an amazing year, spend time in the Word. If the only time we look in the book is on Sundays, we're missing this concept. And that's sometimes what will make your year so difficult. Because you need to be looking through biblical eyes. You need to have a biblical concept. And one of the ways to do that is to, I think, personally, begin every day. Not in a legalistic way. Now, there's two ways you can listen to this sermon. You can listen to it through works and a legalistic attitude. Or you can look at it through grace. It's like obedience. I'm obedient to God and I'm becoming more obedient to God. Not so I will be accepted by God. I do it because I am accepted by God. It's easy to get that flipped around. People are working for God's favor. No, you have God's favor, and that's why. That's why you live the way you do. And how do we live it? We live it on a daily basis, right? We live it on a daily basis. And Acts is saying, listen, search the scriptures every day. Every day. Just spend some time. Listen, and I know in our program, you can read through the Bible in a year, isn't it? Every week. And you can do that, and I think that's a great thing to do. But if you're just checking off the list, if you just say, okay, I got to get this done, you know, I've committed to it, it's my New Year's resolution, you know, I got to get this done. I would even encourage you, if you're not able to do that, just take a couple scriptures and just meditate on them at the beginning of your day. Start your day and do it every day. Say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what time I get up in the morning. Okay, well, in your day, whatever it takes. But I would encourage you, not in a legalistic way, but in a way of, geez, I just love the Lord, I want to hear from him, all right? This is how we have an amazing year. Ephesians 4:26. This is a daily scripture. You might not read it that way, but if you really look at it, it is. It says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Or no, he said, don't let the sun go down on your anger or while you're still angry. Is that a daily scripture? It is to me, yeah. When the sun goes down, how do you measure a day? Every time the sun goes down. And every time the sun goes up, right? So the writer's saying that in that time, in that period, deal with these issues that you're going to have. Deal with them on a daily basis. Don't let them pile up on you. Because then he seems to be suggesting that not all anger is sin, but it can become sin if we don't deal with it on a daily basis. And so it's an exhortation, right? Isn't this wonderful? This is a key. Right here, to really having an amazing year, just having this daily concept. How about Matthew 6:34? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Here it is. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Boy, this is very important. If you want to have an amazing new year, again, don't let your anger pile up. Well, don't let your trouble pile up either. Hey, every day's got trouble. I know some people say, well, I'll have an amazing year once all this stuff is gone in my life. If God will take care of this and this and this, then I'll have an amazing year. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. No, it doesn't matter what's going on. And worry will steal the amazement of this year from you. And have we had enough to be worried about? And fear coming into our hearts? What's the enemy wants? He wants to steal. I believe from now on, every year can be this way. And when I hear somebody say, boy, I'm glad 2001's gone, glory to God. You mean it wasn't an amazing year for you? You mean God didn't do anything? Excuse me, in that year? What'd you miss it? Did you miss it? Yeah, but Pastor, this happened, this happened, this happened. I mean, have you been watching the news? Yeah, I know. Still an amazing year if you look at it through kingdom perspective. And one of the ways to do that is through a daily focus. You need to get back that daily perspective. And even when you're talking, talk the way Scripture talks, all right? Well, you know, tomorrow's going to be a bad day. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. All I know about is today. And I'm just giving all that to the Lord today. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry about the future. That can be an area of finances. Hello? That can be anything in your life, relationships, struggles. Not even your boss can take this away from you, all right? Not even a pink slip. Nothing. Not even an unexpected surgery that you didn't see coming. I'm still going to have an amazing year. Still going to have an amazing year. Is it true? How about Exodus? This is my favorite daily scripture. Favorite. I'm going to give you three of them in a row here because they're all from the same chapter. Exodus 16. You know what's happened. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt, man. They're out in the wilderness and God's going to provide for them. And they're kind of complaining because, you know, where's our food coming from? We don't have food. Well, we're here. We are. Man, maybe it'd be better to go back to Egypt, actually, you know, because at least it was predictable. And God speaks to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And here's what I want you to do. The people, I want them to go out how often? Every day, each day. And gather enough for one day. One day. In this way, I will test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. Wow. I don't know about you, but I would think, God, wouldn't it be better? I mean, you're busy, God. You got a lot of people to take care of. Why don't you just let it rain monthly? And then gather enough up for the month. That'd be a much better use of your time, wouldn't it, God? See, God's after something this year in you and me. He wants a daily perspective from us. He wants our hearts to be after him and to trust him every single day. Keep reading. In the 26th verse of that same chapter, it says, you may gather food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There'll be no food on the ground that day. Don't even go out. It won't be there. This is my plan for you. 6 days, go out every day and pick it up. But on the seventh day, that's going to be a Sabbath. That's going to be a day of rest for you. What a difference a day makes. Why did God do this? Verse 29 tells you why. The Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. Did you know God gave? You know, we were talking about gifts a couple of weeks ago. Here's a gift. It's given to you every week. God gave the Sabbath to us as a gift. This is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the 6th day. So there'll be enough for 2 days. And on the Sabbath day, I want you to gather in your place. Don't go out and pick up food on the 7th day. We're missing this today. God gave us something. Man wasn't created for Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for man. It's a gift to us. It was a reminder to the children of Israel of their slavery. Because they didn't get a Sabbath in Egypt. In fact, they worked them just before they left, remember? They didn't have any days off, and they doubled the workload, and they made it more difficult. God says, I'm taking my people out of this. And yes, you will work, and work is not evil, and you will work for 6 days, but on the seventh day, you need to rest. I think we've lost that in our culture. And I'm not just talking about gathering here, although this is part of the Sabbath rest, I think, is to come and worship together corporately. And you notice how the enemy tries to separate us from Sabbath? Why does he do that? Because he knows the value of it. He knows the value. And we begin to dismiss it, and we don't realize this is God's gift to us. You see, but it's just one day. I know. What a difference a day makes when you can embrace this Sabbath that God has for us. I hope in this new year, I think one of the ways to have an amazing year is to honor Sabbath, to value Sabbath. Now, whether you're home listening to me or you're here present today, I'd like, not in a legalistic way, again, ever taking attendance, who wasn't here? What? No. It's something you want to do. God will give you the desire for it, and you will enjoy connecting with the body of Christ. Have you ever thought you don't need the church? Have you ever thought you don't need people? Are you like that? You know, people, I just don't need anybody. I'm okay by myself. And there's days I might feel that way, but I'll tell you, God made me to want to connect. And Sabbath is a day. Now, you say, well, Pastor, Sabbath is a day of rest. Is Sunday a day of rest? Well, we often joke about it at our home, probably Monday's my Sabbath, but it's still it's a different day. It's different than the other days. And it's not a day to labor and strive. It's a day to kick back and to relax, whatever that looks like for you. Now, it doesn't mean inactivity. It just might mean a shift in that, something that brings you rest. And he wants to regenerate us. He wants to renew us. He wants us to remember, you used to be in Egypt. You used to be a slave. But in the kingdom of God, you will still work, but there will be this Sabbath rest that I'm going to give to you. Now, I believe, and this is a whole other sermon, there is a rhythm to Sabbath that we can have every day. Every day. If we can learn to enter into that concept of Sabbath rest, even in our labor, I believe there's a rhythm to Sabbath where we separate ourselves unto the Lord. And that's what this day, it's a gift. And if you don't take that gift, I think it can affect your year. So this could be a key this year and every year to be able to say as a believer, believers, when they say, how'd the year go? Amazing, amazing. Yeah, but didn't you have a death of a loved one? Yeah, but didn't you lose your job this year? Weren't you down with COVID for a while? Yeah, I know. It was amazing. It was amazing. The people think you're Looney Tunes. That's why this has a 12-month guarantee attached to it. Because if you will embrace this, there's no way you can't have an amazing year. Now, you're not going to get out of this without an acrostic. Turn your page over. I want you to write down the page daily. Just write down your page daily. If you're at home, just take a piece of paper. Daily. All right? And here's some things we want to do every single day as we've read these scriptures. This is something I want to do every single day. Here's the first one. D, we're going to delight in the Lord every day. We're going to be full of joy every single day. Pastor, we got to talk ourselves into it? No. Remember, joy is a delight in God that is not affected by pain or by pleasure. Habakkuk, I think, says it best. I love the scripture. This is his prayer to God. And if you get time to read the third chapter there that's listed, we're not going to put it on the screen, but he's describing God in his prayer. Oh, my goodness. This is like a, this God is amazing. And he's going through and just talking about how great God is, how big God is, and how he got us through the Red Sea, and how he did all these wonderful things. And then he says this in his prayer in verse 17 and 18. God, could you pray this prayer? Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. See, if you have that attitude, you're going to have an amazing year. Because it's not going to depend on what's happening to you, right? It's just going to be a delight in my salvation. You're going to be, remember that show on TV? You're going to be one of the untouchables. Yes, you are. What's the enemy going to do with you? If you pray a prayer like that, now you've just taken ammunition away from the enemy. And if you pray that prayer every day, what's the enemy going to do to us? I'm going to have an amazing year and nobody can take it away from me. Amen? How about A? Every day, I'm going to acknowledge the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge the Lord every single day. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's our life scripture for Connie and I. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Here it is. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's the promise connected? If you'll do that, and he will direct thy paths. I believe that. How can you not have an amazing year? If you acknowledge him, I'm just going to acknowledge him. You're going to acknowledge him in the difficult time? You bet I am. God, where are you? God, what will this make possible? You're acknowledging God when you say that. See, if you don't acknowledge him, what are you saying? You're saying I'm self-sufficient, I'm on my own. No, I'm acknowledging God. And that leads me to I. Someone who acknowledges God every day is going to be a person of prayer and intercession. Intercession. Every day, I want to encourage you, not legalistically, look at this through grace. I know the legalistic people, you're just going to go, oh God, I got to make this list there so I can do it every day. No. But I believe it's possible every day from a position of grace to pray for who? What is intercession for? It's for others. We're going to talk about more of that next week, how to have an amazing year. It involves others. We get so self-focused, even in our prayers. But if we can go back to that delight in the Lord that's not affected by pain or pleasure, we're going to acknowledge him. And then we're going to pray. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul says to Timothy, he's getting him ready. He's nurturing him. He's shaping him into a young pastor. He says, I urge you, Timothy. I urge you. I've told you a lot of things, but I urge you, first of all, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give, I love this, the way the NLT said, and give thanks for them. Amen. You can even thank God for your enemies. You got to go back and get that sermon. But yeah, you can thank God for them. And he says, nowhere near. He said, listen, you need to pray for yourself. You need to bring your needs before the Lord. You need to pound. And he says, listen, above all things here, ask God to help other people. Pray for others. Pray on their behalf. That's what intercession is. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We always thank God for all of you, Paul said. And we pray for you how constantly, daily, all right? Now again, I know some of you keep prayer lists, and I think that's good. We have, Frank told us we can be on the prayer chain. That's a good thing every day. You get notices and know what's going on, and you can have that little list in your Bible. That's okay. But sometimes I think you just need to get before the Lord and say, Lord, who do you want me to pray for today? And God will drop somebody into your heart. But you got to acknowledge him. You start by delighting him and acknowledging him and positioning yourself. And I guarantee you'll have an amazing year if you could just learn to pray for other people. And not go get them, God. Not that kind of prayer. I'm not talking about that. I'm going to pray for my enemies, God, get them. Oh, no. I'm going to pray God to bless them. And then he said, bless your enemies. Pray for them who spitefully use you. What kind of intercession is that? That's the intercession that will give you an amazing year. If you can learn to pray that way. I'm telling you, what a difference a day makes. One single day, one small step every day. Oh, but then you think, God, am I going to do this 365 days? Glory to God. Forget all that. Just today. Well, I messed up yesterday. I don't care. Today is the day. Today is the opportunity. You ready for L? I believe every day you can lighten your load and let go. Every day you need to just let go. Some of us are carrying burdens and baggage in our lives, and no wonder you're having a terrible year. And you got your list, or not, you got a list of all the things. things you want God to change this year, right? That'll make it a good year if God will do this and if God will take away that and if God will... And no, God's calling us to a place of surrender on a daily basis. On a daily basis to be able... Here it is, 1 Peter 5:7. You know it, don't you? You know it. Probably got it on your refrigerator, don't you? Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. That'll lighten your load, I'm telling you. You weren't made. Do you remember the three responses to burdens? Easy to remember, right? They're all S's. You can share them, you can shoulder them, or you can shed them. All three are appropriate. There are times we can lighten our load by sharing with other people, letting them into our lives and help carry that burden. There are some burdens I just need to shoulder myself. I understand that, responsibilities I have. But I believe the big one is shedding. I believe God's saying, there's some burdens I don't mean for you to carry. Why are you carrying that? I don't want you to carry that. You're just weighting down your year. No wonder you're having a terrible year. Why don't you just cast those cares, roll them over on the Lord? For why? Because He cares for you. Do you believe that? You believe He cares? See, I think that's why we don't cast our cares. We think, oh, God really, no. In fact, probably God's kind of mad at me because I haven't lived my life like I should have. I've messed up and all these things. You know, and think about what happened yesterday and the day before that and last year and on and on and on. Hey, let it go. Let it go. Offenses. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily ensnares or entangles me, that stuff that wraps itself around me, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The key, throw off everything that hinders you. I believe you can do this. You need to do this every day. Well, once I get to church Sunday, I'm going to cast all these cares. No. For you. In fact, you ought to come in here pretty lighthearted because you've already done it. Because you're going to do it every day. Maybe you just start your day. Just pray, God, I'm just casting all my cares on You today. Or maybe at the end of the day. You know, Lord, this day had a lot of burdens with it. I'm just going to give them to You today. If you will do that, I guarantee you, you'll have an amazing year. Now, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Because I have a tendency sometimes to hang on to stuff. Do you? That's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to hang on, and we get more and more, and pretty soon we got this giant load, and God says, why are you doing that? Let go, cast your cares on me, throw off everything that hinders you, and the sin that's so easy. So you might even have to ask God, is there something I'm not even aware of that I need to give to you today, and come to a place of full surrender? You do this on a daily basis. And here's the last letter. This will help you. I believe every day you can yield to God and take on His yoke. You know these scriptures, don't you? Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Oh, really? He's taking us back to this Sabbath place in Him, this place of rest, shalom. This is the rhythm of rest. See, this isn't just for Sunday, is it? Sunday's good. Gathering with the church is good. It's part of our Sabbath. But there's a daily rhythm of rest. And God, Jesus is saying, listen, I'm the source. Take my yoke upon you. So every day, take His yoke on you. Say, that doesn't sound good. That sounds restrictive to me. No, He's going to tell you, this yoke's different than all the other yokes. Remember the rabbi yoke? That's what He's talking about. If you followed a rabbi, which was an honor to do, they all had a yoke. They had a list of things. And some of them were quite lengthy. It took years to even understand their yoke. But Jesus' yoke was about this long. And this is a key to having an amazing year. Jesus is saying, listen, get rid of that. I only have one thing for you. It's called the gospel. I've come to lift this burden off of you. And it's not your works. It's not your goodness. It's my goodness. Take this yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Would you like 2022 to be a Sabbath year? It will, and I'll tell you how it will be. because every day will be that way. Every day we'll enter into, listen to what he said, for my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus, I didn't say that, Jesus said that. If that's not your experience, no wonder you're having a terrible year. I believe if you can lock into this, not just on Sundays, but every single day of your life, you begin to enjoy this place. I had someone call me on the phone last night. They were all excited about something God had shared with them in their prayer time. And it was about his love and how if we could just receive his love and that love will overflow into others. A basic concept, right? But this dear sister, my wife, she's sitting on the other side of the room. She could hear her on the phone. She was so delighted about what God had shown to her. And she was like pumped, ready. I think this lady's not going to be able to sleep tonight. She is so pumped. She understood what this is, a place of love and God's rest, and that we don't have to labor for it. We don't have to strive for it anymore. We can just enter into it because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. What a great year. What an amazing year it'll be if we can embrace that. And how about this last scripture in James? Talks about the wisdom from above, right? Everybody here need wisdom? I need wisdom every day, right? Listen, there's a worldly wisdom and then there's a kingdom wisdom. And the wisdom from above in this verse, he says it's pure, it's loving, it's gentle at all times. And look at this. It's willing to yield to others. I think if you want to have an amazing year, you're going to learn to yield to other people. You're going to learn to yield to situations. You're not going to be wound tighter than the top. You're not going to be fighting everybody. Now, I grant you, there's some things I'd like to see happen this year. This is going to be an election year. Hang on. Buckle up. Oh, my gosh. Some of you are going to want to turn your TV off after a while. It's just going to get a little too much for you. What happens politically does not determine whether you're going to have an amazing year or not. What happens physically to you? I know people that, boy, if God doesn't come through in certain ways for them, they're miserable. They lose their delight. They stop acknowledging God. They stop interceding. They start holding on. They're burdened down and they stop yoking up with Jesus and they stop yielding to what God is doing. You see, if we can do this on a daily basis, and this, I know this looks hard. It's really not. In fact, if it's hard, you missed it. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Easy. It is because it's a place of surrender. You know, I've come to a place and Paul's did a devotion at an elders meeting. I don't know how long ago it was. I forgot. But I never forgot it. And it was a key tweak in my life. He said, God didn't call us to fix people. Man, I'm a fixer. I want to fix everybody. And that was liberating for me. And I realized, and I added to it, God didn't call me to fix people. He called me to love people. If you want to have an amazing year, get off your fixing people chair or horse or whatever it is, you know. Because there'll be more work to do than you can do, and God's in charge of fixing, not you. You're in charge of loving. And that's what this dear sister was sharing with us last night. The love of God is so amazing. And it's his goodness, not my goodness. And it's just going to overflow on me to other people. Wow. Yeah, wow. That will give you an amazing year if you can live your life that way. So what's your one thing? What's your one thing today? You say, well, you only had one point. Yeah, I know, but it was like, I saw it as a wheel. There's a hub, which is the day, and then all these spokes coming off of it, right? Which spoke to you? I like that. Which spoke to you? All right, is there one particular? Say, all of it, Pastor, all of it, all. No, just ask God. Ask God, give me one thing. And then if I see you this week, I'm going to ask you what your one thing is. You ought to be able to tell me. I asked Eric over breakfast what his one thing was. He goes, oh. Boy, I got a text an hour later. He showed me his notes, what his one thing was. He wanted me to know what it was. And he had it right in there. All right, amen. What's your one thing? I like to hear from you what your one thing is, because then I like to see what is the one that, what's the number one that keeps coming up for folks. That's kind of significant. So I think I know what this one will be, but for you, God wants to speak to you, and I believe wants to speak on you, speak to you daily. And I believe that if you will adapt this daily focus, you'll end up in the middle of God's will and wonder how you got there. And you're going to enjoy the journey. And you're going to say, if anybody asks you, what kind of year did you have? Practice. Amazing. Amazing. It was amazing. And I'll tell you what, you'll stand out in the crowd because everybody goes, wasn't amazing for me. It wasn't? It was for me. What's so amazing about it? You could drive a semi-truck down that road, okay? What was so amazing about it? You can tell them what is so amazing about it. This is incredible. This is amazing. This will put a strength. And I'm not saying you're not going to have difficult things. I'm not saying that at all. You will. In fact, I guarantee you that. You will. Man, I look back on the, oh, next month we're going to have my brother's memorial service. I'm going to miss him. Monday night is our quarterly family Zoom meeting. One box will be missing. I found, somebody gave me some pictures this week of Connie and I when our kids were little, and Pastor Bobby was being, you saw that picture, right? Being installed as our associate pastor. And I sent it to my family, you know, and I said, who are these people? Don't look like. I said to my sister, you know what? I know what David would say. He'd be firing back, having some sarcastic remark about it. I know he would. Silence. No response. So it made me miss him a little bit because I loved it. Chiefs game today. We always talk after every Chiefs game. Not today. Not today. So those are difficult things. But it can't take an amazing year away from me because God is still amazing. And even in that, he's amazing. You got to look for it. It's there. It's there. God's made this provision for it. So I want no excuses this year. I want you to decide right now, I'm going to have an amazing year. And it's going to start with a daily focus of these things. All right? Are you ready? Are you a little bit excited? At home, are you ready? Are you ready to go? I believe it. Next Sunday, we'll be talking again. But before that, we want to come to the table. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, of course, we all know it. This by itself will give you an amazing year if you understand that God has saved you by His grace. He saved you. When you believed, He saved you. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. I like the way the NLT says it. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. See, if you're on that boat, you're not going to have a real great year. Because you're going to be full of regret. You're going to have a list of all the things you didn't do well at. And your New Year's resolution, it'll probably fail, 30 days, I'll give it. We're not talking about New Year's resolution here. We're talking about a daily focus on the Lord and the beauty and amazing things that He's going to do in and around us no matter what's happening. Amen? A delight in God is not affected by pain or pleasure. Father, I thank You for the salvation that we enjoy. We can't boast about it. We can't say, hey, look at me and how good I am. But we can say, look at God and how good He is. How good You are, Lord. And so we celebrate that today. And we want to start into this new year positioning ourselves for the small steps every day that will add up at the end of the year. And it's going to go quick. I know it will. Sure did last year. But I believe this year and every year to come is going to be amazing because our focus is going to be on You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for walking with us. We celebrate today as we come to this table and receive this cup and this bread. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for this cup and bread. We thank You because we really partake of it every day in our lives as we think about Your provision for us. And Lord, I pray this year, as we take this cup and bread, let it be a focal point for us of Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace. And let it pursue us throughout this year, every single day. We love you, Lord, and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please, as we review again a scripture we already looked at today, Luke 9:23. This is Jesus' words to us as we leave today. If any of you wants to be a follower of Jesus, any people here want to? Yeah, that's why I tell the people, are you a Christian? What are you? No, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what I am. Jesus said, if you're going to be a follower of mine, then give up your own way. Deny yourself. Surrender to me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You willing to do that? I'm just talking about today. And then comes the next day. And then comes the next day. I believe as you take this path into this new year, just decide right now. It's going to be amazing. Because this is what I'm going to do every single day. Have a daily focus. Daily, daily. Father, we're your church. We commit to this. Your words. We take your words to heart. And we say yes to you. Yes, we do want to be a follower. And we're going to give up our own way because it's not our works. It's not our righteousness. It's yours. And so we surrender to that. And out of that comes all things. So Lord, we take up our cross. It is that place of death. Galatians says it best that we are crucified with you. Nevertheless, we live. But it's not us that lives, but it's you that lives in us. And the life we live by faith in the Son of God. And so we embrace this year as an opportunity to live out our faith to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So next Sunday, if you can join us online or if you can join us in person, we have two more amazing steps with a 12-month guarantee that if you'll embrace this, get ready, because you are going to have an amazing year. Amen. If you would like prayer, we'll stick around today. We'd love to pray with you. There is some fellowship. I think there is. So there'll be plenty of room today so you can fellowship with one another before you leave. Make a point to do that every day, would you? Would you? Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Thank you.